Thank you, Lord. Good morning. Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. All right, good morning. Happy Sunday morning. Thank you, Jesus. No rain, and it's sunny outside. Did you guys notice that? It's bright and sunny. I usually do not have my phone up here with me, but today I need a different version because we're going to be in the Word quite a bit. Thank you, Jesus. There we go. Thank you, Abby. Have so much fun with the kids. Bless them in Jesus' name, and angels all around with peace. Peace in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. So few slight little announcements. Today is the day we get to honor Joe and Leela downstairs at the potluck. We hope that it is such a blessing to you as we get to pray over you and just give you gifts and cards and send you out. Perfect, in Jesus' name, right? One other little announcement. I just want to say thank you to Bob. He got a little tithe and offering box right outside. It's right on the wall for all offerings, even prayer requests. Write it down, slip it in the box. It's right on the wall. Okay, so last week, I got to be at a summit, is what they were calling it. I left last Sunday evening and did not get back home until very late Tuesday night. I have been involved in, it's called Elevate Cohort, and it was a very large group of women, like senior women leaders. A lot of them were pastors. A lot of them just led with high capacity in their churches and whatever else that they were involved with ministry. And I was very honored to be a part of that. And so this morning, I actually just want to bring in some things and share them that I have received. It was such a blessing to me, and I pray that it is a blessing to you. If you are the type that needs to, like, I want to write down some notes, these are the three things that I pray that you take away. So here's number one, if you want to write them down. Knowing Christ is the most important thing above anything else. Amen. That is number one. Knowing Christ is the most important thing above everything else. Here's number two. He himself, Jesus Christ, made a way for us to receive holiness. Thank you, Lord. And number three, the light of Jesus that dwells within us, we are to help others shine their lights also. Okay, so I was at the summit, and there was, I don't even know how many women, easily 50, maybe a little bit more, from the nation, East Coast to West Coast, all these women from all different places coming together. And they brought in a speaker named Tammy Donahue, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with her or not. Yes, one. Good. Thank you, Karen. I'm glad. So I had never met her before either. I have heard great things about this woman. She, I don't know. She's a top dog, okay? She's a top dog. She is top shelf quality, okay? Anyways, I happened to sit at one of the tables, and she was there. One other woman was here. She was here. Other women. There's like eight of us at this table. So I don't know her, but I just kind of get to meet her like, oh, you are our speaker for the weekend. Wonderful. And I just have this different, slightly different personality and character, and I'm sarcastic. And so I look at her. I'm like, oh, you're the speaker? Well, I hope it's going to be good. And thank you, Jesus. She met me with a beaming smile. She was happy that it just kind of broke the ice a little bit. And she goes, well, you know what? With God's help, I hope it will be good too. right? And I was like, oh, wonderful. Okay, we're friends, you know, and all of that. And it was great. It was a lovely, lovely time. Like, Tammy, this better be good, okay? All right. So, and it was. It was every single time. She did not disappoint because she spoke the word of God. And the word of God does not ever disappoint. And that is what was so wonderful and rich about the actual weekend, okay? So, the food, superb, okay? The food there was, they serve you breakfast, right? And you eat. They serve you delicious coffees. I mean, like white chocolate peppermint mochas, okay? And all of this. Everything just felt extra special. It really did. And just one level over the top, right? Like, wow, Lord, thank you. I get to be a part of this, okay? And you're full from breakfast, and you go in, and we have a teaching and all of this, and we have incredible worship. It's wonderful, right? And then, boom, it's lunchtime. And you're like, wow, I haven't even moved. I've just been sitting the whole time. But, man, this food is good. I am going to find room, and I am going to eat all of my lunch plus dessert because you don't pass on this food, right? Everything that we were feeding ourselves was so delicious, so tasteful, right? Okay. Now, Tammy, she is starting her teaching. And I realize, I'm looking around. Whoever I am, right? Who am I? I find myself sitting in this room with women of high caliber women, right? Like, wow, you have done this in your life. You have done that in your life. You have served for how many years? I haven't even been alive that long. Wow, oh my gosh, okay. Lord, how is it that you have allowed me a spot in this room? How have you given me a place at this table? Lord, I'm getting lower and lower and lower because I just slightly get to realize the magnitude of like, wow, Lord, you have a place for me in this room. And I hope you hear that because the Lord has a place for you. Amen. At his table. He is like, this chair has been waiting for you. It is for you. In fact, I've told everybody else, he's coming, she's coming, just wait, just wait. He has specially made a place for you in the room, at the table. Okay. Oh my goodness. The degree of excellence that I found myself sitting in. I was just like, wow, Lord, I feel like I cannot thank you enough. I don't know how I am in this room right now. I feel overwhelmed, but in a way of such thankfulness, right? Okay. So, and I say this because Tammy is sharing the mighty, powerful word of God. And right before she shares, of course, her bio is shared. Now, I shortened it down so you guys could get a picture of who Tammy Donahue is, okay? Her academic background has a Doctor of Leadership in Global Perspectives from Portland Seminary. Her dissertation was on cultivating a disciple-centric growth culture in the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. She did that. That's hard for me to just say, okay? And like Tammy wrote the book on that. She has a master's in ministry leadership from Portland Seminary. Her ministry actually began in 1981 as co-pastor and teaching pastor at 4 different churches in California. She also church planted in Fort Smith, Arkansas. That's also where she currently lives, is Arkansas, so she even flew in to speak. While serving in higher education as an additional professor for Life Pacific University in San Dimas, California for 8 years. She was vice president of Foursquare Women in Ministry Leadership Program. She's the director of Foursquare Leaders, director of the Foursquare Women International and district supervisor of the Arkansas District of Foursquare Church. Think I'm done? I'm not. Tammy has more than 40 years of church and denominational leadership experience, along with serving as the organization's vice president of U.S. operations and general supervisor from 2009 to 2021, with supervising ministries of the national church in all 50 states. So there's Tammy. Okay. And I'm sitting under this. I'm like, wow, Lord, what waterfall are you pouring out over every woman in this place? You know what was the best thing? Was that all of that, and I condensed everything that is written about Tammy. One of the best things that I took away from Tammy, because it's something that I recognize in her, that I recognize in myself, is, you know what she said about all that was said over her? She goes, I have titles over my name. I have degrees over my name. I have done, boom, 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 boom. Like the, she rolled out a scroll of all things she's ever accomplished in her life. And she goes, you know what it means? Nothing. It means nothing. It's worthless. It's meaningless. And I caught something right there because I was like, wow, Tammy, thank you. Thank you. Oh my goodness. You don't ever hear this type of teaching with the top dog. Okay. Like, she has reached the top. She's retired out of it. She's now a priest in like Anglican. How do I say that? Thank you. See?
I was going to say England.
England church, you know? She's got the bishop hat and everything, but she really is now a priest. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Tammy. And to be sitting in the room with that high caliber of a leader, when that leader says, you know what it means? Nothing compared to knowing God. Everything I've ever done in my life, scratch it off the table. It means nothing when I compare it to knowing Jesus Christ. And she goes, you know what, by the way, don't you dare ever do all the things for God without God. Do not do it. Don't go home and play church without the living Holy Spirit within your church. It doesn't mean anything. Right? Here we go. In the word, Philippians 3, starting at verse 7 to 11. Tammy just listed off everything that she has accomplished in her life, and either before, over, or after her name. And it means nothing. Philippians 3, 7. Tammy says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Amen. It's not that having a master's or degree or a doctrine or a title, it's not that it is bad. The Lord calls us to those things as well, right? And we can teach others. We can help others. He can use it, okay? It's not that schooling and education is bad. It's the opposite. Absolutely. Get schooled. Be educated. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That is the key right there. Right there. It is a surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because when she is on her deathbed, is she going to be like, bring me my master's, bring me my degree, bring me my whatever. I want to see my certificate of graduation. She's not. She is not. I know, because she even said it, right? But we are not there at that place of like, wow, look at what I have accomplished. No, Lord, everything that I have accomplished, I really count it as nothing compared to knowing you. Because knowing you is the greatest thing that I've ever done in my whole life. knowing you is the most important thing. And when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be like, could you bring me my certificate or my trophy? You're going to go like this. There's my Lord. I get to see his face. I get to be in his presence. He is the God Almighty that's saying, oh my gosh, welcome in. Here's your place. I've been waiting. Okay. I consider them, the degrees, the titles, everything that you've done in your life, I consider them rubbish. That is garbage. That is trash. In some translations, it says dung, right? Like, it's just, it's rubbish. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Okay, all of that is a lot to chew on, but it is so powerful. So powerful. And when I said, I found myself in this room with high caliber women. When I even say the word caliber, I'm like, oh, wow, I see like a picture of a bullet. A bullet is, thank you, yes. A bullet is small, but my God, is it not packed full of power, right? It delivers a powerful punch. But it's just this big, or maybe this big, or, you know, 50 cal is maybe this big. But even a 22, it can cause damage, right? It's so small. Women, you know, like Tammy, she's small. But what she was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because everything else in life, she lays it down, comparing to know Jesus Christ. Everything else is absolutely rubbish. It doesn't mean anything. But knowing Christ is absolutely everything. I hope you guys are like, yes, I receive this for myself, right? And I do not mean, please, I do not mean to speak any negativity of like, well, great, are you just saying I wasted my whole life going to college, paying my bills, and doing my job? No, not at all. Not at all. I just mean the level of importance on, okay, a lot of times we get our own identity wrapped up in wrong things, meaning I'm a teller at a bank and I deal with people's money and I am somebody important and I answer the phone and I click on a computer and I do deposits and I do withdrawals and I've worked really, really hard and now I'm a loan officer and now I've worked really hard and now I'm an owner of the bank and I'm the CEO and blah, 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 blah. And you know, one day that job can be gone. It will be gone. Is my identity this CEO of this bank and I'm someone so important? It's going to be gone, right? Is my identity found in Christ? Amen. Found in Christ by faith, right? The gift of God. It comes from God and is by faith. I almost want you bored of like, Rachel, get to the next point. But I want to like ring it out. Our lives are found in Christ. The most important thing that we can focus on and do and pour ourselves out to is knowing Jesus Christ. Being in his presence, being in his word. Surrendering our lives to him. The other thing that I felt that Tammy kind of touched upon, or at least I saw, I witnessed, because I believe this myself, as leaders, I'll use the word leaders, really she drilled home the word shepherd, right? There's a lot of pastors in that room. And people can say, oh, I'm the leader of the church. I'm the leader of the club. Okay. And she's like, yeah, the word leader, okay. It's shepherd. It is shepherd. And it is a gift to even be a shepherd of all the sheep, of the flock of God, okay? And she described, she gave us this beautiful picture of a shepherdess, and she was holding firmly onto the staff, and the other hand was just resting upon the top, and her back was actually towards the sheep. Like, they're there. I'm here. They are fine. And she's in this beautiful green grassy meadow and this still water, this river right next to her, okay? And it shows authority. It shows power. But it also shows rest, right? At the same time, she's looking upon the still waters. She herself is in the presence of the Lord. I know that I have authority. I know I lead the sheep. I know I shepherd the sheep. But how? With the Lord. You cannot do it alone, okay? And so as leaders, as shepherds, I also believe and have for a long time that we should be the first ones to the altar. How do you lead without setting the example of what you want your flock to be or do, right? We should be the first ones to have our faces to the ground for Christ. We are the ones to lay it all down for him. Do you agree?
Yes.
Thank you. Wonderful. Amen. Because I really do feel that that is so important. I say that also because I have also been to different conferences where, if I can paint a good picture, where you have these beautiful people, men and women, walking across the stage, right? And they're like, I'm in the Emerald Club. And then the other ones are like, I'm in the Sapphire Club. And the other ones are like, I'm the Elite Diamond. No, you cannot talk to me. Maybe you can talk to my secretary, but you can't touch me, you can't speak to me. If you want me to teach you, you will pay me thousands of dollars. You will pay me thousands of dollars to get my training, my life coaching, right? But I am the top elite diamond, and I walk up and down across stage, but there's no relationship, there's no friendship, there's nothing. It's empty, right? I do not see those leaders saying, I have everything because the Lord has given me everything. I do not see that. This particular weekend, oh, thank you, Jesus, I saw that from the highest caliber women within Foursquare, but really within the kingdom of God, okay? Within the kingdom. Coming low. God, I count it all as loss. It's straight garbage. I don't even care. I worked really hard for you, of course, and for your kingdom. But knowing you, that is the most important thing. Teach me, help me to lead and lead well, because the leader, the shepherd, has their eyes on Christ. Lord, how are you moving? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Where are you flowing? Because I'm flowing with you. I don't move until I hear him say, now go ahead and move. This is how you lead and lead well. Your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ after your face is to the ground. Lord God, I need you. The flock needs you, right? The highest leader is still like, Lord, I repent. I repent and I renounce. Check my heart. Clean my soul up, please. Because I deal with people all day long. Right? It is hard. But with Christ, all things are possible, right? Okay. Oh, my goodness. So this weekend still continued to unfold. Good, good, good. Great. We come to a point. Oh, man. The last night, we end up taking communion. Before we take, excuse me, we don't take, we actually receive. Before we receive communion, Tammy invited us all to actually physically lay on the ground The carpet was maybe thinner than this carpet, and it was concrete floor, okay? So it was very cold and super comfy, okay, on all your joints and bones. And so we laid there for Christ, and we were able to lay there and say, Lord God, I do choose to say, not to go with everybody and their mama in the room, but Lord, this is my personal choice to actually lay down on this very cold, hard concrete floor and say, once again, Lord, my life is absolutely yours, and I truly surrender all of it to you. Every pain, every heartache, every joy, every happiness, all of it, I actually desire you. I eagerly desire you more than anything and everything else. You can absolutely have my life because my life itself is hidden in Christ already, right? I am actually physically, spiritually, emotionally made within Christ. So, Lord, my ways of thinking, my ways of doing, unravel them before you, please. Because I lay here and I surrender it all to you. I'm telling you, this whole room could have laid there for hours and it would have been fine. The worship that was pouring out, that type of like travailing cry to the Lord, was something else. And it like shifted something in the room. Women's faces were changing, like, what am I witnessing in this place? It's a heart cry. God, I can do nothing without you. I don't want to do a single thing without you. Everything means nothing unless it's coming from you. It is about him. It is about his presence. It's all about him, not about just the things we do. He wants us to be with him. We are human beings, right? And maybe you guys have heard that before. We are human beings, not human doings. We can do all the stuff for him, but don't you dare do it without him, right? Okay, my gosh. So we break up into two lines because that's just kind of how the room ended up going. Tammy's up front, Stacy's up front, and they have the cup of juice, and they have these tiny little cracker things. And Brenda, trigger warning, they have the cracker, and they dip it in the juice. And we are to walk up with our hands like this, okay? Like, my hands are empty. Every woman's hands in there are empty, and we walk up. And they dip it and they place it. They like plop this cracker that has been dipped in the juice. And they say, you know, this is Christ's body broken, right? And his blood shed for you. And like drops it in your hand. And you get to take it when you feel led to take it. Bless you. And this moment actually was something else. I have received communion many, many times, and I'm thankful for it every single time. But this encounter, because the presence of the Lord was so heavy in this place, I realized, I go, wow, Lord. And tears were just coming out. It's not because I was sad. It wasn't that. It was just felt him, and I was like, wow, Lord, you allow me to receive something holy. You yourself are holy. I don't think we have a rich understanding of what holiness actually is, right? But I was like, wow, Lord, you allow, you are the way, you have made a way that says, this one, that one is mine. I am the way. I make a way for that one to receive me, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. And we get to receive and take internally inside of our bodies something holy. Not the cracker, not the juice, but Jesus Christ himself. And so I felt undone in the best way. in his presence. Lord bless that child back there in Jesus' name. It's all right. And so then I felt led to just like, Lord, would you please give me some scripture that is about holiness? Even just the word holy. And of course, he did. And there was an overwhelming amount. So I just got to choose a few verses, his word about holy. And the first one he gave me was Psalms 99, verse 3, 5, and 9. And it says, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. He is holy. Psalms 111, verse 9. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. This is what we were just doing. Worshiping, pouring out, surrendering, exalting the Lord Most High. He is holy. And he goes, you know what? I have something for you. Something that is holy that I want you to receive, freely receive. So I was undone in the best way. He also gave me Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the high and lofty one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. This is what he says. This is God. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite, which means remorseful or sorrowful, sorry, right? Like, oh, Lord, I repent. I've sinned. I really need you as my Savior, right? So God is saying, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, which means humble or poor or simple. Why? To receive the spirit of the lowly and to receive the heart of the contrite. Are you kidding me? God is so good. It's talking about like the exchange that he made, right? He's sinless. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous, and he bleeds for us so we can receive it freely without doing anything at all. He takes all of our sins and we're washed clean, right? You're just like, wow, Lord, I can't handle you. I cannot handle you in the best way. And you allow me to receive something holy. And then he shows me Leviticus 20, 26. He says, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Oh my gosh, do you feel that? Do you feel him? This is the Lord God speaking that over you. You shall be holy to me, for the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you from the people that you should be mine. Do you have a relationship with the Lord like that? It is super hot in here, by the way. Are you guys sweating? Because I am sweating. I mean, if the Lord was just standing right here, how would you receive that? Don't you ever forget, I have separated you. You're mine. You belong to me. I have made you holy. Are you kidding me? God, do you know who I am? You do. You know everything about me. And you are so good that you say that one. That one's mine. Set apart. It's holy. Do you know why? Because when that exchange happened, right, with his son, and his blood covers us. The Father God, who does he see when he looks at you? Please say it louder.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So yeah, when he looks at you and he sees you, we are constantly being conformed into the likeness of his son, looking more and more and more like Jesus Christ. It's too good. It's too rich, right? Excuse me. And I needed the NLT, the New Living Translation. And he gave me 1 Peter 1, 15 through 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at 15. 15? Maybe 18. 15. Just hear the word of the Lord. But now, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you, you have been chosen, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. Although you can say, I'm his favorite. You can. But the Father to whom you pray has no favorites because he really loves us all, okay? He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him. Awe, wonder, high respect of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That is a big deal. I have money. I have gold. I have silver, right? I have paper that folds. I have, it's money, right? I have coins that jingle and all of that. I've never paid for anything with my own blood, but Jesus Christ did, okay? Because the money becomes valueless, rubbish. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. Amen. Amen. He's just so good. We come out of, I don't know what happens, okay? But we receive communion, all right? And we make our way around the room. The lines go this way. And we meet another woman on their leadership team. And she is holding a candle. It's one of our gifts that we receive at this summit. And she has this big, long lighter. And we receive this candle after receiving communion, okay? And she lights the candle, and she says something to the effect of, the light of Jesus Christ is inside of you. Okay, right? Like, I know that, but it becomes something else when you are saturated in his presence and everything is about him. okay? It just touches a different place. Like, I mean, I've known this, but man, do I realize this? And we step right over to one more woman, and she is holding a little beautiful glass vial of matches. And she goes, like, here's the gift that goes along with the candle, because the candle is now lit by someone else. And she goes, here's your matches, so then that way you can also, like, light one and share it, right? You can share the light of Jesus Christ that is within you to others, okay? And I spoke, I don't know how many weeks ago, but Randy Remington, the president of our Foursquare movement, had said three main things, right? Of like pursuing his presence, possessing the land, and passing the flame. Not the torch, right? Not like, here's my baton, and then I pass it, and now I'm just empty-handed. No, here's the torch that I hold from the Lord with the fire that he has given me, the light of Jesus Christ within me. I now get to light someone else's torch that he has given me inside, right? And I still hold my torch. I still hold the light of Christ within me. Okay, so this was a beautiful picture of what actually, like, this is the movement that is happening, that the Lord has already spoken about. And so it was just so intimate and powerful of like, hey, let you not forget that we live in a severely dark world, but you have a light inside of you, and the darkness will never blow it out, never squash it out, right? Nothing. The darkness never overcomes it. Do you know who's overcome the world, the dark world? Jesus Christ. Where does he dwell? Right in here. Turn up the light. Fan it up, right? Fan up the flame that you carry within. You can. And then you know what you can do? Pass it on to somebody else. Amen. Light them up. Light it up. That's your job. He actually commands you to do it, right? Okay, and so then I also found in Exodus 30, 7 through 10, it happens to also be the New Living Translation. It's just a beautiful picture, okay, in the Word. Every morning when Aaron maintains the lamps, he must burn fragrant incense on the altar. And each evening when he lights the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. Do not offer any unholy incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offerings, or liquid offerings. Once a year, Aaron must purify the altar by smearing its horns with blood from the offering made to purify the people from their sin. This will be a regular annual event from generation to generation, for this is the Lord's most holy altar. What an incredible picture. It should leave us in a place of like, wow, Lord, first, I'm so grateful that we are still not again and again and again having to sacrifice, because thank you, Jesus, he's our one sacrifice. His blood really, truly atones for all sins, and we are washed clean by his blood, you know? He is to light the lamps, and it goes from generation to generation. And that is what we had just done, right? Like almost given, like, don't forget, this is what you carry. Generation to generation to generation, right? The older to the younger and down and so on. Pass your flame, but your flame is not going out and your hands will not be empty at all. Don't come up. The fire that we have, that we carry, right? That is a gift from the Lord. It truly is. it is our job to not let that fire go out. Stir it up. Stir it up. And be excited to light somebody else. Not on fire, okay? Don't take it wrong. But be excited. Be like, I know what I carry, what he's given me. I am on fire inside, and I want you to have the same. Or I know you have the same, but maybe you've forgotten. So let's fan it up so we can run together. The race that is set before us, right? For the kingdom of God. Okay? Jesus Christ is the number one most important thing above everything else. Everything else. If you find yourself like, I have not done that. I have not. Just come to that place. Lord God, I repent and renounce and I thank you and praise you for revealing the thing that I put in front of you that I held most important rather than you. I'm sorry. That contrite, right? Heart and lowly spirit. Lord, wow, I'm sorry. And you still choose to dwell within me. You live in that high and holy place, and yet with me too. God, I can't handle it, right? So Lord God, we come to you. We are so grateful for you, for the things that you have chosen to do, that you truly are the one and only Savior, that you allow us to receive something so holy, and yet you are a God that says, I have set you apart. I have also made you holy because I am holy. You love us, Lord God, with an everlasting, steadfast, true, deep love. I thank you so much from the beginning of time, before you even created the world. You already put it into motion that your son, Jesus Christ, would shed his blood for me and every single other person here in this world, the whole world. I feel like my thank you is just too little. But it's what I have, and you are such a great God that you also receive it. Thank you. And Lord God, I want to know you more. I want to be surrendered on the floor. And I invite you, Lord, to pour it out like a waterfall, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, the power that you have. Pour it into all of us, Father God. Light the flame that we do already carry, that you have given to us. Turn up that measure of faith and trust inside every single one of us, Lord. Let us not leave this place as just like with a dullness. Turn it up. I thank you and praise you for that, Lord. We want you. We love you. We desire you. Jesus' name.